Let's go to the Word of God, Revelations chapter 1. We're going to continue in our series today about the voice of God. And I've enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Amen.
We've been looking at something I think is wonderful. And I feel like today God's been taking us around, giving us background, and leading us to today and to something special, I hope. So before we read from the Word, let's bow our heads one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, that is our desire, Lord, to live for you, that you would have your way in our lives, that we could be what you want us to be. Lord, that's our desire. We realize you've taught us that if we have our way is not as good as your way, Lord. Your way is so much better for us than to have what we want. Lord, so we want what you want for our lives. We want to follow your spirit and your leading, even if it's contrary to our carnal thinking, Lord. We want to follow you, Lord. And Lord, we know that your word is a light to our path. It guides us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to feed on your word and to follow your spirit, to hear your voice. We believe today that it's possible to hear the voice of God in our individual lives, coming off the mercy seat, speaking once again in a still small voice. Lord, you can speak in an audible voice. You can speak through prophets. You can speak through one another. But Lord, I believe today you can still speak to us directly, right to us, God. We thank you for that. Lord, I ask you to speak today. Bless the reading of your word. Pour out your spirit upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go to Revelations chapter 1. We covered the first three verses, and we didn't get too far, but we'll start with verse 4, and I'm going to read down through verse 7 while we're standing. So, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord Jesus. So we are going to continue today, and again, we don't normally do series, but we felt the Lord pressing this way, and I can see now, looking back, that I think it was good. And so we talked about the voice of God, and this is part three today of that. And part one and two, I felt like God was showing us he speaks in many ways, in divers manners. You know, different ways at different places, different times. We serve an unusual God. He hides himself.
Amen.
Now, that is unusual. When you think about people in this life, whether it's a businessman or an athlete or whatever, some kind of big person in this life. You know, most people, when they're really great, they want to show how great they are. They want to be there. They want to hear the applause. They want to get all that feedback. But here, God in this life here, it was part of his plan that he would hide himself. He hides himself in simplicity and in humility. He hides himself behind badger skins. In the Old Testament, there in the tabernacle of the wilderness, where the pillar of fire would come down visible to the people of God, and the pillar of fire would hang over that holies of holies, and Moses would go in there and then talk with God lip to ear, and then in that holies of holies was the ark, and it was a sacred place, and only the priest could go in there once a year, had to be dressed a certain way, walk a certain way. They even put bells on his feet. They had a rope tied around him, because if he fell dead for some reason, they couldn't go in there. They had to pull him out. Such a holy place. You couldn't just go in there. Now today, if you don't go in there, you're dead. Right. We all must go into the inside of the inside, which is that Holy Ghost experience. We all must have that. So when I think about back then, you know, the holies of holies was, how did God cover it? With skins. Skins of animals. So the skin would be on the outside of the covering. And today God still hides behind skins. And if we truly are born again of the Holy Spirit, if we receive that same original Pentecostal experience, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if we have that same experience, we become the skins that God hides behind.
Amen.
And you move and interact in your life, and people look at you and say, well, it's just an ordinary person. But hidden behind the skins of that ordinary person, there's an extraordinary spirit.
Amen.
There's a supernatural God.
Amen.
And you know what his desire is? To save. And that's why if you have a burden for the lost, it's him. He wants people to be delivered. Look at all, I love to tell people, look at the Gospels. Look at what Jesus did in the Gospels. Look at his actions. Look at his words. He came to save.
Amen.
He came to deliver.
Yes.
He healed the sick.
Yes.
He reached out to the lost. He wanted. He didn't like to deal with religious people who thought they were right and they were wrong. See, because he's the same today. But that same spirit in you, I don't think it'll make you religious. I think it'll make you real.
Amen.
And it'll make you have that same desire that people be saved. You're not content when you see someone lost. You want them to be delivered.
Amen.
That's why it's such a burden on us when we have loved ones that we see every day, or a family or friend or neighbor, and there's something aching. You know, we're just not happy. If they're not happy because they don't know Jesus. We're like, Lord, give me some wisdom today. I know I can't save anybody, but Lord, help me to reach out to them. See, that is Christ in you reaching out to the lost. It's not us. If we were left alone, we'd be out in the world somewhere just selfish and just like everybody else in the world. Don't blame worldly people without the Holy Ghost for being worldly. What else can they do? They need to be born again. Help us, Lord, to see that. So part one and part two were about God working in many ways and how he works through his word. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his prophets. He speaks through his bride. He speaks in all those ways. But we know when God speaks today, he will not contradict or throw away or add to anything that's in the scriptures. He sheds light on what's already been said. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Never contradicts, only sheds light. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God.
Yes.
Right? That's what, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14 in John 1 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Now, I believe Marge and Sal were here when we voted on the name of the church, because there was a time we had a different name and we didn't like that name and we voted different names, and Spoken Word Assembly and then Living Word Christian Assembly was chosen. And I was happy about that, because that's my desire, that the Word become alive.
Amen.
In the people.
Amen.
That truly have that revelation of the Word. It's not enough today. There's many people that have the letter of the Word. There's many people that carry a Bible that don't carry Jesus. See? Because they're carrying the letter without the Spirit. And you got to have the Spirit and the truth.
Amen.
See, His word is not just letter. My words are spirit and they are life. It's not. It's truth and it's the right spirit. So being religious, I grew up around religious people, Catholic priests and nuns, went to school for all those years. And I know what religiousness is. Jesus is not that. He's not a religious Catholic priest. He is God in flesh. He was here in the fullness of the Godhead bodily when He was here on earth. And now today, a portion of that Spirit comes in and He makes the Word made flesh again.
Hallelujah.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. That's what it's all about. So let's go to verse chapter 1 again, Revelations verse 8. And I want to go through some of these scriptures and get into this next part here. I love this. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. What an introduction.
Amen.
There's only one person that can say that.
Amen.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The I Am, the great I Am.
Amen.
And actually, when you study the church ages, and we're not going to get into all this today, but each time He addresses a church age, He speaks of His deity first.
Amen.
He shows His deity. It's wonderful. Study it out in the scriptures. The revelation of Jesus Christ, right? This book of Revelation is revealing Christ. And the primary revelation is He's not the second person of a Trinity. He is the Trinity. The Bible says the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All that God was in Jesus Christ. And that's what's misunderstood by most people today following Christianity. You know, here they say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then they don't do it. Because the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why all through the scripture, in the book of Acts and everywhere else, they baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why don't churches today baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus? Why do they baptize under the titles Name of Fathers? Because they lack the revelation of who Jesus is.
Amen.
And that's the primary revelation, that Jesus is God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So glad to have that revelation. Verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Yes.
You know, we got to get in the Spirit.
Yes.
We can't do any good if we're not in the Spirit, right? Get in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And heard behind me, now put yourself in John, I heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.
Amen.
Now, what we need to understand is why just these churches? There was more than seven churches there. There was a lot more churches there. But these seven churches were chosen for a specific reason. And the truth is, they were manifesting characteristics, attributes, that were the same attributes of church ages in the future. That's what it was. See, the Ephesus church was manifesting certain characteristics. As you know, each local body manifests its characteristics, you see. And here we see that happening in those ages. And God picked those seven, not that the other churches weren't churches, but this is a book of prophecy. And He was prophesying of future church ages. And He's speaking to church ages in the future and telling them what they were doing right and what they were doing wrong before they even existed. Praise God.
Amen.
To the seven churches, praise God. Future church ages. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches, right? So he kept saying over and over. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. Let's follow along. And I turned to see the voice. John turns to see that voice that says, I am Alpha and Omega, that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, Revelation is a book of symbols. We know that. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, Jesus, right? Clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, symbolizing what? He was judge. Amen. He's sovereign judge, Jesus. All judgment has been given unto him.
Amen.
God will judge the world by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, he will judge the world, and he is the Word. He is the Word made flesh.
Amen.
Right? So, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed down with a foot and the girt with golden girdle. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. So listen, talking about the voice of God. The voice of God as the sound of many waters. What is that? That's the people preaching the gospel. All down through the ages, all down through these seven church ages, God was going to hide behind vessels that were speaking the truth in the right spirit of God. Sure, there's false ministers everywhere, but there's going to be true ministers in each church ages. And all those people together, their voices is the sound of many waters. Praise God. Let's continue. The voice of many waters. And he had in his right hand. Now, whose hand is this? This is God.
Amen.
And in his right hand, seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, the word of God.
Amen.
And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength.
Amen.
Pray, what a vision of God, you know, seeing Jesus Christ there and in the midst of a candlestick,
amen,
seven different lights. But all, if you see a proper candlestick, every one of those dips down into the same oil.
Amen.
It's the same oil feeding all different. It's the same Holy Ghost in all the different church ages. But different manifestations, the seven spirits of God before the throne of God.
Amen.
See, it's really important.
Amen.
And if people don't understand how important it is, they might neglect to hear the voice of God.
Amen.
In their age.
Amen.
See, this is clearly Christ in his deity. He's speaking, and we realize it's very important to hear what he's saying. Revelations 1:17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And we can understand that. Can you imagine if you were there? And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore.
Amen.
He rose from the dead.
Amen.
Alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Future. The mystery. Now he's revealing the mystery. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So it's clear here. The seven stars in his right hand are the angels, and an angel is a messenger.
Amen.
A messenger. There wasn't more than seven. There was seven.
Right.
Now, God doesn't only deal, as we've dealt with in the voice of God, like part one and part two, he doesn't only deal with these seven messengers. He deals in many different ways. But these seven messengers were key messengers to the seven church ages. In other words, they're going to have an anointing. They're going to have a ministry that matters for that church age. And God's going to declare truth in each of those church ages. Now, Brother Brandon, which we believe was the seventh church age messenger today, I believe with all my heart, he was the fulfillment of Scripture. He said in his message that it's the same message all down through the church ages. In other words, he doesn't have a different message than Paul. Paul had the original gospel, and every church age since then, in the light of the conditions of that ages, preaches that same message, the same Pentecostal message, with the same manifestation of God in every church age.
Amen.
Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
See, we can never contradict the scriptures that are here. There was so much supernatural signs and wonders in Brother Branham's ministry, and miracles, and the dead raised, and the blind eyes open, and such powerful, powerful anointing that people, they said, well, Brother Branham, you know, and are we going to have some new thing? And he said, no, it can't be new. It's just showing what was already written.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Seven candlesticks are the seven church ages. So the seven candlesticks represent the ages. And the seven stars in his right hand. Remember the right hand we talked about? The right hand of power.
Amen.
Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
Amen.
In other words, if you can receive the report of those seven messengers, the arm of the Lord is revealed unto you. The strength of God, the mercy of God, what God's doing in your day. God always has a witness.
Amen.
Always has a witness of what he's doing. Sometimes it's a small minority, but he always has a witness. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
When we believe the report, we have access to hidden manna.
Amen.
Let's face it. People that reject those messengers, they're missing out on something important.
Amen.
They're not hearing what voice of God is saying to that age. If people rejected Paul and said he's just a crank, you know, and they just forget about him, we're not, and anything Paul said, they rejected it. And there was people like that in that day. Actually, it was the majority that rejected him. It was only a minority that followed after Paul. But Paul was the prophet in that day. He was the key church age messenger in that day. God used Paul in a special way, and Paul recognized it, that his revelation, he wrote most of the Old New Testament epistles explaining the meaning of Jesus' life and ministry. Powerful, powerful ministry, Paul. Brother Branham, in this seven church age, only exalted what Paul's ministry was. He never contradicted Paul. Actually, when he was caught up into that heavenly experience and translated, and he had a chance to be up there, and they said, you'll be judged by your ministry. He said, will Paul be judged? They said, yes. He said, well, I preached what Paul preached. See, that was Brother Branham's understanding. What he preached is what Paul preached. If people take the words of a message today and they twist it, and the meaning they come up with is different than what Paul preached, it's not what Brother Branham was preaching. It's a perversion of the gospel. Praise the Lord. We know we got to have that. The devil always works that way. God will judge the world one day. You believe that?
Amen.
The Bible declares that. God is going to judge this world. Everybody's going to be there at the judgment. Right? Some will raise up to condemnation. Some will raise up to life. Some will already be raised up. Right? While he's separating the sheep and the goats, there's people on the throne with him. His bride's already on the throne with him. See? The sheep and the goats doesn't happen until after the millennium. See, when he separates at that great white throne judgment. But when the rapture takes place in this day, which I believe is our day, which could be any time, I believe, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the token ready to go, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
So we'll live with him in the millennium. Many things will happen during that time, cleansing of this earth, I believe. And then after that, there'll be another resurrection. And some people that weren't part of the bride will still have eternal life. He'll separate the sheep and the goats. I think we're going to be surprised who makes it, really.
Amen.
God chooses his own bride.
Amen.
God has mercy on whom he will.
Amen.
I believe that. I do believe that. So it's not for us to put anybody in and out. I don't believe in that.
Amen.
God is the one that does
Amen.
It. See? And so he's going to separate. We won't be separated with the sheep and goats. We'll be on the throne with him as his bride.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. What a privilege that is.
Amen.
But God will judge the world. He'll judge the world not by a system of man. He won't use a man-made system to judge the world. He's going to judge the world by Jesus Christ. That's what it says in the Bible. And Jesus is the Word.
Amen.
And he is the Word made flesh. Right? The Word was made flesh.
Amen.
And dwelt amongst us. See, to me, there's a difference between when people talk about the Word and they're talking about the letter of the Word. They're talking about the things that were literally taught in the Word, which we love all that if it's truth, right? But Jesus was not just that. He was the Word made flesh. In other words, Jesus was promised in the Bible. The prophets promised the Messiah would come. And then when he came, he was the interpretation of that Word.
Amen.
See, God doesn't need us to interpret his Word. He interprets his own Word.
Amen.
He said, "Let there be light." Now, we don't have to sit there and study what he said. He says, all right, what did he mean by let there be light? No. The interpretation is there was light.
Amen.
He spoke through a prophet. He says, a virgin shall conceive. Well, what did he mean by that? You know, and people start dissecting and everything. He doesn't need that.
No.
The interpretation of that prophecy was a virgin conceived.
Amen.
See, that's the interpretation.
Amen.
And that's what the bride will be in this day.
Amen.
Is the literal interpretation of the Word of God. Sons and daughters of God. When Jesus was born as a little baby, do you think he understood all the infinite wisdom of God? I believe he raised up as a baby, and as he grew, things were revealed to him. It was revealed to him who he was.
Amen.
The Spirit of God revealed to Jesus who he was, his purpose in life. You see? As a little boy, when they went off and they thought he was amongst them, Mary and Joseph, people always go off and they leave Jesus and think Jesus is still with them. Right? But you got to go back where you left him. Right? They had to go back. And when they found Jesus, where was he? He was in the temple disputing with the priests that were wrong about the Word. They had the letter of the Word, but they didn't understand the Word. That's what I'm saying. There's a difference in the letter of the Word and the true understanding of the Word. Well, Jesus was the understanding of the Word. And he's talking to these priests as a 12-year-old boy. And they're saying, where did he get all this wisdom? Well, when you're tapped into the Holy Ghost, there's an infinite wisdom that you're getting.
Amen. Amen.
And Mary comes back in the natural and she's not thinking. You know, she's worried about it. Your father and I sought you with tears because Joseph had become like his natural father. But the Word corrects the error and says, know ye not, I must be about my Father's business.
Amen.
See, he wasn't rude to her, but the Word corrected the error because his Father was God.
Amen.
And he was in the temple of God.
Amen.
Straightening out the errors.
Amen.
If Joseph was his father, he'd be in the carpenter shop, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, sometimes the Word in you will correct the errors that you see. Now, I believe, and this is after years of dealing with this, I don't believe you're always required to tell everybody and correct everybody where they're wrong. But God will show you things that are wrong. He'll show if you're at church and something's preached incorrectly, God will show you what's wrong. If you're out and you see people's lives, God will show you what's wrong. The Word corrects the error. But that's for you to understand. It's not always for you to go and be arrogant and tell people what they're doing wrong in their lives. God never works in arrogant spirit. He always works. If he ever sends you to talk to somebody, and I believe this with all my heart, he'll send you very lowly. He'll send you in a very humble spirit. You will not be arrogant. You will not be obnoxious. You'll come very lowly and you'll be very gentle. Correcting the error. I do believe that. Pray. If you feel led to correct somebody, you better pray and pray and pray and pray. Or else it can be turned on you, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So the Word made flesh in every age, I believe that's Christ manifested. And look at John the Baptist. Was he the Word made flesh?
Amen.
Isaiah prophesied, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye way of the Lord. And here, how did he come? Did John come like through the denominations, through the priesthood? His father was a priest. How come he wasn't a priest? His job was too important to have man-made control over it. John was completely independent. The Spirit drove him out in the wilderness. He ate bugs. He was hairy.
Amen.
He was scary and hairy.
Amen.
Right? And he pulled no punches.
Amen.
It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. He just, boom. You know, a lot of times prophets can be that way.
Amen.
Especially the spirit of Elijah.
Amen.
Elijah just pulled no punches. He told Jezebel what for, and she hated him for it. Right? He's not a politician. He just cuts because God ordained that spirit to do that. And John the Baptist just said it like it was and they cut his head off for it. Right? But John was literally, he was literally the Word made flesh.
Amen.
Now, he wasn't the fullness of the Word. Brother Branham wasn't the fullness of the Word. Jesus Christ is the only one who's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the prophets in all the ages and all true Christians will all be together one day worshiping the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, no glory goes to any man.
Amen.
Just goes to God. Praise the Lord. So John was the Word made flesh and he was the voice crying in the wilderness. When they received John, they received God.
Amen.
John wasn't God. But he was the Word of God made flesh. He was God's interpretation of the Word. When they rejected John, they rejected God.
Amen.
Now that's very serious. And I realize today there's a lot of ministries that get up and try to intimidate people and say, if you don't receive me, you're not receiving God. Listen, I don't think God's servants work like that.
No.
By intimidation. See, God wins his people with love.
Amen.
Not with fear. Fear is of the enemy. Perfect love casts out fear. And actually, it's a red flag to me. If ever I go into a meeting and someone tries to intimidate, you know, it's a red flag. Something's wrong somewhere, as my Chinese friend would say. Praise the Lord. Something wrong. When people try to intimidate, don't fear that. Listen, if there was one man in this age that could have used fear tactics on people, it was a prophet of God in this age. And he didn't do it. He said, you know what? Stay at your church. That's fine. Because he knew that God would deal with people that were his own and pull them out that way.
Amen.
He told the truth. But then, you know, many people that knew Brother Branham in person, they said, you know, he was very gentle in person. Behind the pulpit, he just let the chips fall where they may, and it was rip-roaring, tearing. But outside the pulpit, Brother Branham was very gentle. See, people today that try to imitate, see, they tear people apart in person. Intimidate, you know, fear tactics. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is gentle and kind. Let that Spirit be in us.
Amen.
That gentle, kind Holy Spirit. Amen. Christianity is not forced religion. We don't get our loved ones saved by making them feel guilty and beating them over the head. And you know, we win them with love because that's God loving them through us.
Amen.
Love, not fear. Lord, help us to see.
Amen.
So John was the Word made flesh, and today God still works the same way. Everybody needs a resting place for their faith. You got to have a resting place. Many people in today's world claim to be resting their faith in the Bible. Many. But the sad truth is that many people are actually resting in some man's interpretation of the Bible. And when push comes to shove, and I've had this discussion with many people, and then when you go back to the scripture, oh, well, I'm not qualified to talk about it. What do you mean you're not qualified? Look what the Bible says. Oh, but that goes against my denomination. I thought your anchor was the Bible, not your denomination.
Amen.
See, when the rubber hits the road, people show their colors whether they're going to stay with this Bible or not. God help us. So many people are trusting in someone's interpretation or an organization, a denomination, and they hold not to the scriptures, but to that organization's interpretation of the scriptures. And what they're going to find out, that was a bad mistake.
Amen.
That was very bad. See, God help us. I don't want to trust in some man's idea.
Yes,
I don't want to trust in my own idea.
Amen.
I don't think we have to, because today God has put on display, we have access to something greater than that.
Hallelujah.
We have access to something pure.
Amen.
We have access to the star that was in the hand of God for this age.
Amen.
We have access to the seventh church age messenger.
Amen.
We have access to Elijah that was promised in Malachi 4.
Amen.
That twofold promise. They asked Jesus and he referred back to that part. They said, Jesus, we thought Elijah was supposed to come. He said, he's already come and you didn't know it. And Elijah truly shall come first. But he's already come. So they referred to a scripture that had a twofold deliverance. The first coming and the second coming. So Jesus gave them a twofold answer. Look at Matthew 17:11. Elias truly shall, future, come. John's already dead when he said it. Elias shall come first and restore all things. But I say to you, he came already and you didn't know it. And they understood he was referring to John the Baptist. But Jesus was answering a twofold scripture. Praise God. You know, the word of God's perfect. I believe the literal manifestation and interpretation of Matthew 17:11, Elias truly shall first come and restore, was the life and ministry of William Marion Branham.
Amen.
That's a bold declaration, but there's plenty to back that up.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I do believe the literal voice of God came in 1933 on the river down there in Jeffersonville. I wish I could put it up, but I'll just say what it said. And Brother Branham's preaching about the absolute. Ooh, that's a concept. What is your absolute? Our absolute's the Bible.
Right? Amen.
You know, everybody says that, but what really is your absolute?
Amen.
And I remember when he swept down there in that big light, the pillar of fire come down when he was baptizing.
Amen.
Witnesses saw it. I remember when he swept down there in that big light standing yonder at the bottom of the river 1933 in June when he said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, I send you with a message to the world to forerun the second coming of Christ. I believe with all my heart that was the literal voice of God coming out of the pillar of fire. That same pillar of fire that knocked Paul off his high horse on the road to Damascus that said, I am Jesus. That same pillar of fire came in our day, June of 1933, and said, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming, you and your message are going to forerun the second coming.
Amen.
You know, I've had people say to me, well, God doesn't need a prophet today. We don't need a prophet today. You know, if the Word says he's going to send a prophet, we need a prophet today.
Amen.
And actually, with all the mess and different interpretations of Christianity today, we never needed a prophet more than today.
Amen.
Which would have a clear interpretation of the voice of God. And we got one. Praise God.
Amen.
As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, I send you with a message to forerun the second coming of Christ. And the world, around the world, she's went. When revival fires has been built 15 years on every mountain, divine healing across the nations, and power and restoration. And now I believe she is ready to strike the final climax yonder to bring forth a faith. What was Elijah's ministry to do in this age? Restoration. Restore what? The word? No. To restore our faith back to the original. Nothing ever was wrong with the word of God.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with the word of God.
Hallelujah.
To bring forth a faith that will rapture the church into glory.
Hallelujah.
And she's laying in the messages. We're really at the end time. We've talked about it and everything, but the thing has moved upon us now. Yes, sir. Here it is. That's right. Think about that.
Amen.
Listen, if this is truly the voice of God in this day, Brother Branham didn't just come with a sign. God didn't just manifest a sign. There was a voice behind the sign.
Amen.
There was a voice. When Jesus came and he did miracles, they all loved Jesus. When he started to speak the truth, they didn't want nothing to do with him. in this day when Brother Branham came and there were signs and wonders and miracles and everybody loved him. But then when he started speaking the truth of the Word of God, they all abandoned him and said, you're crazy. There was a voice behind the sign. Who can hear that voice? Who has enough grace to hear the voice of God in this day? Listen, if we yield to the heart of this message of the hour, we're going to draw closer to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This message does not point you to worship Brother Branham. It points you to worship Jesus Christ. This message does not get you to accept intellectual religion. It gets you to contend for the faith that was once delivered. You'll contend for the original baptism of the Holy Ghost. You will not be satisfied with a lukewarm life. You will say, I have to be closer to God. I can't be like this world. And we'll all fight the spirits of this world, every one of us. But the voice of God that we heard clearly and we've seen, we're not going to be content in this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me. There's an angel beckoning me in this age. It's like an eagle flying over. He's looking for those eggs. I heard the eagle scream. Have you heard the eagle cry? See, there's something inside of us that responds to that. Not because we figured it out, not because it made us smarter than other people, but something deep inside of us responds to something deep inside of that voice.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
When I look back at what God's done in this age, I stand in awe of the manifestation. I stand in awe. God did not just display power, He displayed His Spirit.
Amen.
He displayed His Spirit. He showed us what the true gospel looks like. If there's one thing we should have learned from Brother Branham's ministry, the Seven Church Age Messenger, is the gospel is not just teaching. But so much around the message is so caught up into teaching, teaching, teaching. Even teaching that belittles the manifestation. I don't want none of that. The gospel's not just teaching, but a manifestation of the power of God. Listen, Brother Sal was talking about desire. Brother Branham preached about expectations.
Amen.
You listen to those early tapes of Brother Branham. He preached about faith and expecting God to keep His promises. And that's what his divine healing ministry was based on. Don't let the devil come in this day with this higher learning reasoning which steals your expectation from God. I believe the bride of Jesus Christ expects the supernatural.
Amen.
Not manufactures it, expects it,
amen.
Believes it,
hallelujah.
Waits for the real thing.
Amen.
Praise God. Not content with someone says, oh, we're in the third pool now. We don't need the first pool no more. God never takes away. He only adds to.
Amen.
The third pool, they say, the third pool is the preaching of the word. No, the third pool is the revealing. It's a manifestation.
Amen.
Brother Branham's life and ministry was a manifestation of God. When the bride comes into her fullness,
amen.
It reveals who she is because she speaks and creates.
Amen.
She's not just, you know.
Lord.
Listen, if it's just preaching, the devil's been doing that since the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Still does it today. And the devil preaching always lifts people up and exalts them and then steals the expectation of the supernatural. Because they think they got something so much greater and then the devil steals from them.
Amen.
Oh, you got all this revelation. You got more revelation than everybody else. You don't need all that. That's the devil.
Amen.
If you got a real revelation, you'll have the power of God.
Amen.
These signs shall follow them that believes. The works that I do shall ye do also.
Amen.
Praise
hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah. Glory.
You know, in this day, people, they almost want to get a message book and put it on people. Here.
Amen.
No. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God needs your hands to lay on the sick.
Amen.
Not just the ministry, those with the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Good,
praise the Lord. The true manifestation of God was manifested. Of course, the devil has worked hard to pervert it. That's his job.
Yeah,
He's distracted many people from the truth, but there will be a bride. I am convinced now more than ever. Now more than ever, there will be a group of true believers around the world. They may come from a little church. They may be in a big church. It doesn't matter. Every one of them will have a real experience with God. They'll have a token on display. From this last church age, there'll be a group that truly catches the right spirit and the right revelation. Think of that group of people. They will know what God wants done with his word. They'll have thus saith the Lord, or they'll keep still. It's hard to do sometimes. But they will keep still. They'll know what God wants done, and they won't get ahead of God. But they will wait on God. They will not run after every wind of doctrine. You know why? You know what the bride has? She's already pregnant with the word of God. She's not looking to get pregnant with something else.
Amen.
When some other man creeps on, sorry, I have my husband.
Amen.
I have Jesus.
Amen.
Because they have the real Holy Ghost. They heard the real voice of God. And they continue to feed on the scriptures and the message of the hour.
Amen.
They continue to feed on that. You know, I was thinking about what we call the message in this day. I wonder if you could bear with me, because what sadly to me is we got people going to churches that are following the teachings of Brother Branham, and maybe the church is going the right way, but there's individuals in those churches that aren't themselves feeding on it. In other words, yeah, I think it's right, but I don't really spend any time in what he taught. You know, and I think we need that. I think it's important. You know, God help us. If we're not feeding on what God preserved in this day through the ministry of Brother Branham, then we're missing out on wonderful truths.
Amen.
We're missing out on such blessings. Amen. We're missing out on a clear voice of God, a spoken word of God.
Amen.
It's not contrary to the Bible, but it sheds us more light. It sheds light. It reveals things to us that we may not have understood. It's not adding to, it's just clearly showing what it says. The early messages, I said, they were faith, divine healing. You know, divine healing is the children's bread.
Yes.
We should have the attitude, that's mine.
Amen.
I don't have to accept sickness.
Amen.
By his stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
We got to get persistent with it.
Yes.
We got to be like that woman who she went to Jesus, a Syrophoenician woman, and her daughter sick back in the bed, and she comes, oh, please help me. He says, it's not meat for me to give the children's bread to dogs. She kept pursuing anyway. She's like, I don't care what you say. I need help for my daughter. She said, yay, Lord, I'm a dog. Call me a dog if you want. But don't the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table? Now, what do you see there? Persistence, humility,
amen.
Willing, whatever it takes, Lord, I need, by your stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
It's the children's bread, divine healings for us. And it's not based on what we've done. It's based on what we believe about what he's done for us.
Amen.
By his stripes, we are healed. How many times have we said in the prayer line, Brother Branham, with the discernment, he could see a sainted woman coming through the prayer line, but she was thinking wrong. She's like, she needed to be healed, but she's like, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Because a lot of times that guilty spirit gets on people. Listen, none of us is worthy, but he made us worthy. He made us worthy. So she's coming through the prayer line. She's a sainted woman. She's living a holiness life. And she misses her healing. And there's a prostitute in the prayer line. A prostitute. Now, obviously, God's not happy with that lifestyle. He didn't reward her because she was sinning. But she sat there and said, well, that's what he said. I believe it.
Amen.
And she was saved and healed right there. See, it proves it's not what we do. It's what he has done for us.
Amen.
It's our attitude towards what he has done for us.
Hallelujah.
It's a mistake to trust in your own works. Because you'll fail.
Yes, sir.
And if you're trusting in yourself, you'll drop like a rock and then all of a sudden you got nothing. But if you're trusting in him,
amen.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, my.
Amen. And he's able to change us. He's able to make us what He wants us to be. Praise God. Divine healings for us. Brother Bram gave a story of his life story. He has a wonderful message, how the angel came to me. I believe with all my heart, an angel of God came and gave him his commission. And you either accept his testimony or you reject it. If you accept it, you receive the blessings behind it. If you reject it, I believe you're rejecting God's manifestation in this day. The Word made flesh, Elijah that was promised to come. That Elijah came and God sent an angel to Elijah. He said he was trembling when the man walked into the room. He had a robe on, hair to the shoulder, 6 foot tall. And the first thing the angel said was, "Fear not."
Amen.
He said, and then when I heard that voice, I knew that was the same voice that spoke to me all of my life.
Amen.
But the first time he saw the angel in human form.
Oh my.
I believe with all my heart.
Amen.
I believe the testimony of Brother Branham's son, Billy Paul, when they were in the hotel room and Brother Branham woke him up in the hotel room. You know those hotels that have like two beds, you know, and he had a pillow next to Billy Paul and he woke him up. And Billy Paul said he did that for me because I was in with the meetings with him and I talked about the angel all the time. And Brother Branham asked the angel, "Can I let my son see you?"
Amen. Hallelujah.
Just to help him. So he got permission. I believe it.
Amen.
You ever heard the testimony of Billy Paul? I believe with all my heart. He's there in bed and he wakes up. You know how you're kind of like foggy when you wake up? You're coming out of sleep and his dad's saying, Billy, wake up. Billy, I asked the angel if I could let you see him and see behind this pillow. He's standing over there in the corner of the room and he's going to let you see him. You see, brother, sister, there's angels here today. You just can't see them. If God opens our eyes, we'd see angels here.
Amen.
Multitude of angels. Amen. And so he says, look over there in the corner. Now he was preparing him to see a supernatural being. Because if he just said, look over there, he might have like, you know, been in this shock. He said, Billy, don't worry. He's good. He's on our side. It's okay. So when he turns and what happens? He looks and he sees an angel standing there. He said his face was stern. You know, we're in a serious business here.
Amen.
This is a soul-saving business.
Amen.
We're not just playing games
Woo!
Here. You know, the athletic sports, they're playing games. In finance, they're playing games. The government's playing games. But here, the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're not playing games. This is about the truth.
Amen.
And the truth is Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
There's only one true gospel. There's only one God, and His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the truth. When everybody gets beyond the curtain, they're going to see that's the truth. But God has shown some people now.
Amen.
How privileged should we be? We should be so thankful.
Hallelujah.
You know, we shouldn't go around life complaining. We should get up saying, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You've been so good to me.
Amen.
You've been so good to me. As Brother Sal's saying, if you know where He pulled me from, and what He's done for me, you'd understand why I love Him.
Amen.
You know, only I know the pit He pulled me out of.
Amen.
He pulled me out of a pit.
Hallelujah.
He pulled me out of drugs and alcohol and all kinds of mess. And He showed me what He is. You know, and part of when Jesus reveals Himself to us, He shows us
Amen.
What we are.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
And that's painful. Amen. See, it's painful to see you're a sinner.
Yes.
It's painful to see you should go to hell.
Amen. Amen, brother.
See, but when you're in that condition and you see what you are and you see what beautiful He is, then we say, Lord, don't leave me here. Make me what you want me to be. Change me, Lord.
Amen.
Surely if God, by His Spirit and His Word, hovered over this world that was dark and void and He spoke and He transformed this world, can't He transform you and I? By His Spirit and by His Word.
Hallelujah.
He's doing it.
Hallelujah.
He's doing it.
Praise
Him. Praise Him. We just need to yield to it.
Amen.
Praise God. So the early messages. Then the Church Age series, which we're going through in the midweek services on Thursday nights. We're going through the Church Ages little by little. And I'm loving it. Because it's just reminding me of things that we always believed. How that there's seven Church Ages and the fundamental doctrine of the Church Ages is that God had seven messengers, the seven ages: Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, and Brother Branham. I believe with all my heart that's the truth.
Amen.
And I believe that there was a dark age time where it went down and there was such a minority group. And then God used the intellect of man. See, in the seven seals and the seven church ages, you can see the spirit. Brother Branham's ministry exposed the devil.
Amen.
And his tactics. It exposed the way the devil works. It exposed what he did in the past. It exposed what he's doing now. It exposes what he's going to do in the future.
Amen.
That's what this ministry did. It shed a light on the devil that hides behind religiousness and false teaching.
Amen.
He showed very clearly how that the devil, he comes in innocently. Right? Like a weed that just wrapped slowly around the corn and then tightly, and then it just chokes it to death. That's how the devil is. The devil came in, and you know how he comes in? He showed in the seven seals in the church ages, he comes in as a saying. And then the saying becomes a doctrine. And then the doctrine becomes a forcing. That's what it is. But God always counteracted the devil in each age. And in Paul's day, it was the lion age. Paul just called out those things that were wrong. And then the ox was that countered it because, see, in the dark ages, those people had the strength to give their life for Jesus Christ. Do you realize that the bride mostly consists of martyrs? Well, if we're privileged to be part of the bride of Christ, we're going to look around and say, there's not many here that aren't martyrs. Millions martyred. Gave their life for Jesus. You know, how about us? We complain about little things, I think. We should give our life for Jesus. See? But martyrs, down through the ox age, they gave their life. And then in the man age, Luther and Wesley, God used that intellect of man to, in the reformer time, to fight back and use the word of God against that Catholic system, the Roman Catholicism, and all the creeds. And he started restoring the truth of the word. And then he comes back in this last age with an eagle anointing. And you know what I love about the message? The message shows clearly that in the Old Testament, the tabernacle in the wilderness, the 12 tribes were surrounding, protecting that tabernacle. And the lead banner on the north, south, east, and west, that banner relates to the Gospels. It relates to the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. And those four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, protect the visible presence of God, the pillar of fire amongst the church. You see, that's why when people say days of miracles pass, we take them back to the Gospels. The Gospels protect. Hey, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
I gave you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil.
Hallelujah.
What do you mean the days of miracles is past? It might be past for you if you don't believe it, but it's not past for the true church of God.
Hallelujah.
I like Gideon, who Brother Branham said was a scriptural man. He said, if God be with us, where's all the miracles? That's our voice today. The scriptures testifies of a miracle working God.
Amen.
We're contending for that faith.
Amen.
The church ages, the seals, shows how the devil operates, how God protects his word. You know, and then there's some key sermons that I love around the message.
Amen.
Let me just talk about them a little. Will you bear with me a little
Amen.
Bit? There's a sermon called Wisdom versus Faith. Part of this end time message, wisdom versus faith. And Brother Branham, in that sermon, he shows that the devil projects his reasoning as if it's wisdom. But that carnal, demon-inspired wisdom, which lifts, exalts itself against the Word of God and reasons with the Word of God, that's what the children of the devil feed on. But God's children feed on simple faith in the Word of God. Wisdom versus faith. Beautiful sermon.
Amen.
I feel sorry for people that haven't heard it.
Amen.
I've benefited from it.
Amen.
See, because I feed on it. I can't even tell you how many times I've heard it.
Amen.
Wisdom versus faith. The greatest battle ever fought.
Amen.
Where is the greatest battle ever fought? It's between this year and this year.
Amen.
It's in your mind. See, because that's where reasoning and doubt and fear and all these things we dealt with in our mind, see? The devil puts a thought into your mind. And that's what people don't understand. Not every thought that you have is you. The devil puts a thought in your mind. And you can reject that thought. The scripture tells us to take every thought and make it subject to Christ.
Amen. All right.
So we have the right, if a thought comes in our mind, say, hope. Thought, you're not of God, out.
Amen.
Police your thoughts. Here, people of the world that don't understand, they entertain those thoughts. They coddle those thoughts. It can be perversion. It can be unbelief and reasoning. And then they entertain, hey, evil thought, why don't you have a seat in my living room? All of a sudden that thought comes into their heart. Causes trouble in their life and they manifest it. But sons and daughters of God, who goes there? That's not God. Out. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. All those thoughts are within us and we cast them out of us. And we give way to the Holy Ghost thoughts. Whatsoever's pure. Right? Whatsoever's true. Whatsoever's of good report. Right? Isn't it something how an evil report goes faster than a good report? See, because it travels fast like that. But we have to be the kind of person that resists this age. And this is the greatest battle ever fought in our mind.
Amen.
I'm so glad I heard that one.
Amen.
I feel bad for people that haven't heard that one.
Amen.
Because it gives me strength.
Amen.
It gives me revelation. It helps me fight the battle in this day.
Amen.
Because I've been blessed to know that wasn't just a Brother Branham preaching. That was the star in the right hand. That was the seventh church age messenger. That was not, it had a Kentucky hillbilly accent, but it was the voice of God hiding again, speaking to us today. I could go on for hours like this. The spoken word is the original seed. Woo! 6-hour sermon. I probably heard it a dozen times. I love it. I can't get enough of it. There's so much revelation packed in there. I feel sorry for people that aren't feeding on the message of the hour.
Amen.
The spoken word was the original seed. He goes back to Genesis and God says, let there be, let there be. Let the seed bring forth of its kind. Do you realize every seed must bring forth of its kind?
Amen.
God's spoken word brought forth in those seeds. The seeds were planted. You know, God spoke again in this age through a prophet of God and he planted seeds. Brother Branham showed how denominational seeds were planted, 1 million more in 44, and they got more children because that's what it was, a denominational seed. So it produced a denominational child. But the word has been planted. The word has been planted. What are we talking? Not just a dead letter, but the word made flesh spoken. The word, the restored faith back to the original that has been planted in the good ground. And that good ground must bring forth what it is. If this message is right, and I believe it is, if this message is from God and you've received it into your heart, it will produce. It will reproduce Jesus Christ. Do you have that expectation?
Amen.
Spoken words, the original seed. He went back and showed how Eve messed up. Eve reasoned. What happened to Eve? She tried to manufacture a child through carnal. And that's what the churches are doing today. Well, you know, if we have a basketball court in an auditorium, we'll be able to get more people to come. If we have a coffee shop in the church, if we have hairdressers in the church, if we do plays and have entertainment, people will come to church. People need the word of God at church. They need the word that cuts all the world out of us. Praise God. Spoken words, the original seed. You know, here's another sermon. There's plenty of them. Christ is the mystery of God revealed.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
This message shows, he said, listen, this message, everything I've done, all the days in the tabernacle, this is what it's all about. It's all about Christ. The whole Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ in Calvary. Everything since then points back to Calvary. It's all about Calvary and what he did on the cross. How can we point to anywhere else? If you're pointing to anywhere else, you're not following the message.
Amen.
You're following a perversion of the message.
Amen.
Because the true message always points to Jesus. The true message doesn't exalt the prophet of God. It exalts the God of the prophet of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Christ is the mystery of God revealed.
Amen.
Oh my. Do you? If you don't see Christ in every scripture you read, go back and read it again. Because you didn't see it right. Woo!
Amen.
Praise God. I love that. Today, Christ in the original baptism of the Holy Ghost. The original Holy Ghost experience. See, how do we get into Christ? By one Spirit, we are baptized in the one body. Some people don't even realize there is a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever talked? I remember talking to a Baptist lady. I said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? She says, I don't know what you're talking about. That's in the Bible. Take them back to the scriptures. They're not being taught the scriptures, but we have been taught by the Word made flesh. That's why it's so clear to us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How about another good one?
Amen.
Hear ye him.
Amen.
Adoption. The adoption series.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham clearly taught us that you can have two boys. They're sons. They're both birthed sons. Right? But one is not about the father's business.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, you know this is true. You can grieve the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And be a child of God.
Amen.
But he's not going to place you. Adoption is the placing of sons. The Mount Transfiguration, Jesus had his adoption ceremony. And the voice spoke, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. See, and when God does that to sons and daughters of God, your name is just as good on the check as your father.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Amen.
See, you can't live like the devil and expect God to confirm that. You could be a born-again Christian, but not yielding to the Holy. Don't we want our tutor to give a good report back to our Father?
Amen.
Not to give an evil report. Hear ye him. Brother Bram talked about it. Praise God.
Amen.
Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
I feel sorry for people that haven't heard that. He preached it a lot. How about future home of the earthly bride and the heavenly bridegroom?
Amen.
I'd like to know where we're going.
Amen.
I'd like to know where we're going to live.
Hallelujah.
It gives me hope. It gives me strength. This world's not my home, but I have a home somewhere. Hallelujah. There's something in me longing for my future home.
Amen.
And I just have a trust and a faith that it's going to be perfect.
Amen.
The God who is perfect is going to make a perfect home for you and I.
Amen.
Oh my. Countdown.
Amen.
I love the countdown message.
Amen.
Brother John, are we going to be here all day? Maybe.
Amen.
But I got a picnic to go to.
Hallelujah.
Being a Christian, not a picnic, you know.
Amen.
Being a Christian is about caught up in the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Nothing's more important.
Amen.
Countdown message. What happened in the countdown message? Well, we've seen that advances in science, God typed them with advances in the church. So the horse and buggy age, that was Luther, right? And then Wesley was like more horsepower in a car. And then we see the Pentecostals, they were like the Wright brothers getting off the ground in the airplane.
Amen.
If you were Catholic like me, you would just walk along the side of the road. You didn't even have one horsepower. Luther had one horsepower. The Methodists, they had a little more horsepower. And then the Pentecostal had more horsepower to get off the ground, fly, the gifts of the Spirit. And then we come to an astronaut age. What does the astronaut do? He leaves this world.
Amen.
And he goes somewhere else.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Take us out of here, Lord.
Amen.
The astronaut age. All right, let me just read some titles because we'll be here all day. A Greater Than Solomon is here.
Amen.
Woo! The Way of a True Prophet.
Amen.
The Stature of a Perfect Man.
Amen.
God Hiding Himself in Simplicity.
Amen.
The Third Exodus.
Amen.
The Token.
Amen.
The True Easter Seal. Desperations. Perseverance. Perfect Faith.
Amen.
Perfect Strength Through Perfect Weakness.
Amen.
Are you feeding on the Word of God?
Amen.
Three kinds of believers.
Oh my.
Why little Bethlehem? Why it had to be shepherds? You know why it had to be shepherds? Because the uppity people wouldn't accept it.
Right. Amen.
I'm so glad I'm not uppity.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm lowly.
Amen.
Because he comes to the lowly. I'm so glad that Jesus came to save sinners like me. So then I can be saved too. Praise God. Why it had to be shepherds? Because they're the only ones that would receive it. Praise God. Once more, Lord. Samson. Oh, don't you love that? Samson had his eyes blinded out because he yielded to his flesh. But then God didn't reject him. The covenant started growing again. He felt back one day and the locks grew out again. He said, get me to the pillars, and he pushed. He said, once more, Lord, show us your power. Oh, there's a bride today. She says, once more, Lord, let me die with the enemy. Let me die with the enemy, but once more, we got to see your power once more. Oh, I love that sermon. Praise God. Once more, Lord. God, who is rich in mercy. Aren't you glad about the mercy of God? Oh, my! I remember listening to that sermon in the car, God Who is Rich in Mercy. It struck me so deep. I was parked in the car. I knelt down in the back seat. It was a little minivan, and I just wept like a baby because God is rich in mercy. Amen. Don't you love when the messages strike deep? Deep. They speak to you on a deep level. Praise God. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Very important. Birth pains. This world's going through birth pains. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. One of the most anointed messages I ever heard is that message. Because Brother Branham points out, this day, this scripture. He knows he's manifesting those scriptures. Literally. God's only provided place of worship. Under the blood. Marriage and divorce. Who is Melchizedek? One in a million. Choosing a bride. You know, choosing a bride isn't just about choosing a natural bride. It's talking about God choosing his bride. And there Brother Branham stood. He could see the house of the rich couple. And he saw this poor couple over here. And up there, the rich couple had all the riches of the world could ever want. But they were faking it. It's like a big church today. They got the music program. They got the riches. They got thousands of people. They got all the money and their books and everything. But they're faking it. And down here was a little nobody. But on his lap sat that bride. She says, "Ah." He says, I wanted to get you that dress. I don't need that dress. I'm just happy to be with you. See, Christ wants a bride that's real.
Amen.
That just wants to be with him. Brother Bram stood there, and here's a prophet of God saying, I stepped back. I said, which one would you trade places with? He said, I take that character down here. That was not just Brother Branham talking about that. That was Christ in Brother Branham saying, this is what I want in a bride. Someone that loves me, really loves me. Anointed ones at the end time.
Amen.
You can have a true anointing, but be wrong in your heart. We know it's true. Satan's Eden. We live in Satan's Eden. A thinking man's filter. God's power to transform. Works as faith express. Trying to do God a service without doing his will. Modern events made clear by prophecy. On the wings of a snow white dove.
Amen.
Brother and sister, I count it such a privilege.
Amen, brother.
That we have access. Right? All of us maybe are guilty at times of neglecting. But listen, I have a desire. I want the Spirit of God to live in me. I want the real truth of the message of the hour to have preeminence in me. And I realize I need to feed on it. Yes, we need live ministry. I'm against push play only type, saying tapes only. I'm against that. That's why we're preaching here. See, but I'm also for listening to tapes of Brother Branham, CDs, see? Praise God. Amen. There's more, but I don't know. We're kind of... There's always more. You know, I always remember Brother Green saying, only the preacher knows what he left out, you know? You got a couple minutes? I know it's late. All right. I'll try and go fast. There's a brother... A minister brother that I love very dearly. His name's Brian Freeborn.
Amen.
Now, I believe his ministry is of God.
Amen.
And only he knows what he's had to suffer in life, right? Now, he won't hear this message. He don't listen to my tapes. You know, he's a bigger mission. But I love his ministry.
Amen.
And he preached a sermon here one time called Elijah's Cake. And I studied that message because in there, the reason Brian preached on that subject, because I know him personally, I talked to him, was because people talk about the word for today, the word for today. And he was like, Brother Bram said that, but he says a lot of people apply that in a wrong way. And they try and present a different word than what Paul preached. So Brother Bram said, yes, I believe there is a truth to what he's saying, but people are applying it. So he preached this message about Elijah's cake, because Elijah went out in the wilderness and God made him a little cake, and he went in the strength of that cake for 40 days, I believe.
Amen.
Study it out. It was a supernatural cake.
Amen.
It was food that gave supernatural strength.
Amen.
He said, now, Elijah, in this day, we have a cake from Elijah, and it's got stuff in it that's supernatural.
Hallelujah.
And he said, what's different? What is different about the message today than what other people have? And he preached a sermon on it. I'm just going to summarize some things he talked about. See, he said, the message is not an addition to the Bible. It doesn't do away with what God did in previous ages. It doesn't do away with what Luther taught. There's truth in what Luther taught. It doesn't do away the truth in what Wesley taught. It doesn't do away with the restoration of the gifts. It was in addition to that. It was more revelation.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
But never contrary or adding to the scriptures. See? It exposed organized religion.
Amen.
The mystery of iniquity. The Nicolaitan spirit that conquers the lady. This message destroys that spirit.
Amen.
The message of the hour identifies the true body of Christ. Not a certain group, but individuals in Christ.
Amen.
The true body of Christ. He talked about the summary of the church ages and Larkin and the messengers. He talked about the water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is the true baptism. He talked about the Godhead, three manifestations of one spirit. We believe that.
Amen.
That's precious. That's unique to this message.
Amen.
See? Original sin, the serpent seed. We know that the serpent was an upright man-like beast that impregnated Eve, and Cain was the son of the serpent, not the son of Adam.
Right.
Cain manifested the attributes of his father.
Right. Amen.
Truth, the truth of serpent seed. Even the New Testament says Cain was of the wicked one.
Amen.
Couldn't have been Adam. Couldn't
Amen.
Have been. So, original sin, the original day of Pentecost experience.
Amen.
That's what this message pointed to.
Amen.
Election. The truth of election, the truth of predestination, the truth of eternal security. See, this message was unique in that it taught us those things. It taught us about true grace, not greasy grace. People claim grace and they go live like the devil. That's not grace, that's disgrace. True grace leads us to repentance. Praise God.
Amen.
Talked about false Christ, the anointed ones, the seven seals, the messengers to Sodom, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, the latter day spoken words, original seed, the truth of Catholicism and communion, the two witnesses in Revelations 11. We know there's two prophets to come.
Amen.
The Laodicean conditions, the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, the immorality of today, women's dress and how long hair is scriptural, but people have lost that truth. See, and the way women dress matters. And many are scared to stand up and speak against that modern Jezebel spirit because it's such a harsh, dominating female spirit, right? The seed is not heir with the shuck. He talked about that. The Bible is our absolute. And then how God indicted this generation for crucifying Jesus Christ afresh. Elijah's cake, it's very special. There's special food there. Let's all stand. Thank you for being patient with me. You know, if you got a burden, the only way to get rid of it is to do what God wants you to do. Do you realize all the gifts of God operate like a burden? Remember that woman had a burden to pray for the person in the prayer line? Oh, he's going to pray for Brother Branham. Brother, I don't need to pray for that person. Kept getting a burden. And then she finally goes over and says, can I pray for your child? I know you're going to pray for Brother Branham, but let's just to get this burden off of me. God operates through a burden. If you have a burden to do something for somebody, do it. It's God wanting to do it. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, my mind always goes back to Job, Lord. Job said he had spoken things too wonderful for him. Lord, when I think of the privilege you've given me to comb through all these messages over and over and over again, and something inside of me just loving every bit of it. Yes, Lord, the message convicts me. Yes, many times it exposes where I'm wrong. Yes, it leads me to repentance. But I love that too, Lord. I love that you don't leave us out in sin, but that you convict our hearts and you bring us back. And Lord, I noticed when you bring correction, there's always that healing salve with it, Lord. There's always that way of forgiveness that you give to us. Forgive us, Lord, today. Forgive us for neglecting so many blessings that you give to us. Forgive us for neglecting your word and the message of the hour. Help us, Lord. Give us that strong desire for your word, O God. Give us that fresh anointing and desire for your word and for the message. Draw us near, Lord. How we need you, God. I ask you to bless each and every one here today. Bless those that are not here today. This local body. May we be what you want us to be. As individuals, as a local body. May we be the Word made flesh today. In Jesus' name I ask it. What's that, Jeremy? To be like Jesus.